Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We continue our conversation this year in celebrating the new year, ushering in some of the new thoughts, new ideas that we have in mind, but more importantly, trying to keep our eyes on the ever-growing story of the healthcare system in the country as well as globally. The country, of course, has announced the rollout of the vaccine that's going to happen very soon, sometime in February, but there appears to be some clarity in terms of the rollout of the vaccine. This include the testing phase, the beta phase, of course, and then the mass rollout phase. All of that is going to happen in the next few months, not necessarily the next few weeks. Because of this, a lot of people are talking about healthcare in the lens or through the lens of what they can do themselves to make themselves a little bit more risk assured moving ahead with the rising number of COVIDs right now that we're facing right now. One such company that is trying to assist workers as well as employers out there is, of course, Merck Malaysia. On the line right now is Chris Hamman, the President and CEO of Merck Malaysia. Thanks, Chris, for taking the time to speak with us.
Good morning, Ibrahim. Pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about the healthcare system per se, but before we do that, let's go through with what Merck Malaysia is all about. Who do you serve? And if people want to learn from you for the first time, what do you represent?
Yeah, so Merck globally is a 352-year-old company. We claim to be the oldest pharmaceutical company in the world, family-owned, based in Germany. In Malaysia, we've been here for over 30 years. And our core business is in pharmaceuticals, biopharmaceuticals, as well as life science, and also performance materials. So we are serving the healthcare industry globally and here in Malaysia. Healthcare providers as well as their patients through our biopharmaceutical business. In our life science business, we also are serving groups that do research on pharmaceuticals through our lab products, and we also are serving companies that produce pharmaceuticals in Malaysia and globally, and we also serve the technology industry, surprisingly, through our performance material and semiconductor solutions business. So most likely, the display on your phone, on your iPhone, is made with liquid crystals or OLEDs coming from Merck. So Merck is very much a diversified business that is been around for a long time and looking to continue to be around for a few more years into the future.
Some of the partners that you work with, of course, involve large companies as well as medium-sized companies. But one particular collaboration that you guys are doing, of course, is with the government. Talk a little bit more about Healthy Women, Healthy Economy, an initiative by Merck as well as the Ministry of Women in Malaysia.
Yeah, so Healthy Women, Healthy Economies is an initiative. It's a public-private partnership across APEC. It was started in 2014, and Healthy Women, Healthy Economies, the purpose of this initiative is to improve women's health so that women can join, thrive, and rise in the workforce. And Merck is the primary private sector partner for this APEC initiative. And in 2015, we rolled out a policy toolkit, which Malaysia also participated in through, as you said, the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. And the purpose of this policy toolkit is to implement actions in improving women's health across five pillars, including workplace health and safety, health access and awareness, work-life balance, reproductive health, and gender-based violence. And in 2019, we announced a grant, a research prize, to support the Healthy Women, Healthy Economies initiative. And it was announced At APEC this year in Malaysia, which, as you know, obviously APEC was held virtually, very much virtually this year. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic.
Which brings into the conversation of how the pandemic will be seen this year. We've seen how some countries have slowly rolled out their vaccination programs, including that of Singapore. And Malaysia is well and truly ahead in terms of the rollout programs. But as I mentioned early on in the show, we were just presented the timetable, not necessarily the rollout per se, which means that a lot more people like me and you, for instance, might need a lot more time for us to still continue to maintain our social distancing and maintain our SOPs because we might not be able to get vaccinated so soon. And there's millions of us out there. So what's the story like for Malaysians out there, particularly those who are in employment, and we're talking about the millions here, and they want to come back into the workforce, be productive again, work from the office again. What's the reality of the situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to take some patience. I mean, we've seen from other countries, right, the US and Europe, which have already started rolling out vaccines already in December of last year, we're seeing that the process of rollout has not necessarily been a smooth one so far. So hopefully Malaysia can learn from some of the challenges that other countries are facing, in order to have a smoother rollout when the vaccine is eventually approved here in Malaysia and ready for rollout, you know, as we heard, hopefully will be in February. I mean, the good news is, right, the Malaysian government has secured enough vaccine for right now. I believe it's 40% of the population, and the goal is to eventually vaccinate you know 80% of the population. So I think it's very encouraging that the government has made investments into procuring vaccines, and I think it's also a good example of how the pharma industry and government can partner together to help solve this crisis, right, and work together you know on this COVID pandemic, but you know all hopefully also it's a model for the future as well for how the industry you know pharmaceutical industry and the government can work together to improve the health and well-being and the lives of Malaysians in general going forward.
Yeah, I want to learn more about what Merck has to share in terms of what the situation will be like for the first few months for this year. Do you have any ideas on how companies and, of course, governments can react towards the ever-growing story of COVID-19, which seems to be spiking yet again, not just in Malaysia, but elsewhere around the world as well? In the UK, we've seen record numbers of new cases as well. So like I said, it's not going away. In fact, if we you know, forget how to behave in addressing the pandemic, this is never going to go away. So what would some of the ideas that Merck has in terms of your research, your work, into how this pandemic will pan out?
Yeah, so I mean, when obviously the pandemic took everyone by surprise. You know, the pandemic was disruptive for Merck, just like it was for you know every company, every industry. Merck was very quick globally and locally to look at our business model, how we're doing things, and you know how we can continue to serve our customers and our patients here in Malaysia during the pandemic. But also how we can support the fight against COVID-19. So when it comes to COVID-19 specifically, Merck we don't develop vaccines. We don't have that R&D capability into vaccines. But we did look at our pipeline of products to see if any of the products could be used as potential treatments for COVID. And we identified a couple of products that are currently undergoing clinical trial to help treat patients with COVID. We through our life science business, as I mentioned earlier, we support the research and production of pharmaceutical product. Right now we are involved in supporting the development of 50 different vaccines. So as you know, there's almost 200 vaccines that are currently, in R&D for COVID. Merck is supporting the research and production of 50 of those. Also through our life science business, we provide testing and diagnostics for the pharmaceutical industry. We currently are supporting 25 different COVID testing platforms to help identify COVID patients. So I think like the rest of the pharmaceutical industry, regardless of whether or not we are in the vaccine space or not, we've been looking at how we can support this fight. From a business model perspective, obviously this was a huge disruption for us. And when you look at our business, just last January, February, for an example, I would say almost 100% of our customer contact was face to face. And then all of a sudden in March, this wasn't possible anymore in Malaysia. We basically had to pivot, 100% to digital engagement, right, with customers. This, I think it was McKinsey that said that, we've advanced about 10 years in 90 days. I think that's very much the case, in the
Yeah, in fact, in my conversation with McKinsey boss in Malaysia, he was talking about what is the most effective factor for accelerating digital businesses. It's not tech-savvy bosses, or it's not about government or anything. It's the pandemic accelerated everybody moving forward. But the funny thing is, some companies were already there, but many more were hesitant to move forward. And companies like Merck, my own company at Astro, people like us, which people would or consumers would assume that we would be technologically savvy, we're still hesitant to embrace digital technology. And right now we are up there moving ahead, right, with the rest of the sector. But how will things pan out in 2021? We're only 6, 7 days into the new year, and people were already talking about the calamities that have befallen not just this country, but everywhere else around the world as well. So it looks like, or it's hinting, that it's going to be a tough year for everyone yet again. But what would be some of the expectations from Merck for 2021?
So for Merck, I mean, I think you'll see a continued shift in our model, right? In terms of leveraging more and more digital and other technologies in order to reach customers and patients. And I think you'll see that across the industry. Despite the challenges, we continue to invest globally into R&D in order to bring new treatments to our patients, to our customers. We'll continue to work with our customers as well on finding solutions for COVID. And in Malaysia, it's very much the same. We continue to invest here. I mean, certainly our business has been impacted by COVID. Obviously, private hospitals here in Malaysia, right? They're seeing a huge decrease in the number of patients, right? They're probably at 70 or 80% of capacity, right? We don't have medical tourists coming into Malaysia. So certainly, Merck and the rest of the healthcare industry is impacted. But we're here for the long term. And we certainly see the potential here in Malaysia, and want to continue to partner with the government to invest and try to solve this issue, but also the other healthcare issues, right? We know we have a growing NCD prevalence rates in Malaysia, and this is not going away anytime soon.
Well, Chris, we're talking about Merck being a large conglomerate. You're dealing with a lot of businesses, a lot of verticals. We're talking about a lot of segments as well in a lot of markets. And of course, Malaysia is just one of the many markets that you operate in. But you have been active, as in Merck has been active in this market. And it's not just about the life sciences vertical as well as the healthcare vertical. We're talking about all the other stuff, including architecture, automotive, cosmetics, and many more. I don't know what is going to be like for all these other verticals for your business for this year, but surely the way you do business in 2021 would be a little bit different from how you would do it previously. Talk through us into how you as a company is trying to approach non-healthcare, non-life sciences business in the era of post-COVID world.
Yeah, so, you know, as that's probably the performance material side of our business, which serves it's semiconductor solutions. It's things like I mentioned, LCD or LEDs and OLEDs for LCD screens. It's also pigments for, as you mentioned, cosmetics and the automotive industry. And those are probably two of our biggest segments in Malaysia. Right? And the automotive industry in particular has been greatly impacted by COVID, right? That's been the sector of our business that has been most negatively impacted, right? The healthcare side, the life science side has been a bit more stable, because at the end of the day, even though there is a reluctance from patients to go and get treatment for their diseases, most people, they still need their medicine during the COVID pandemic, right? But do you need a new car is a different story, right? And so that side of our business has definitely been impacted the most. We are seeing a bit of recovery, which is very encouraging. Not just for our business, for the broader economy. But certainly, we're all hoping for the fast and effective rollout of the vaccine here in Malaysia, and also a good quick rebound of the economy. In the meantime, we'll continue to serve customers, the best they can, how they can, including virtually, as I mentioned before. Right. Previously, 100%, almost 100% of our contacts with customers had been face to face. And now, at least several months of last year, it was almost 100% virtually. So going forward, it'll be very much a shift in business model about how we interact and work with our customers to support them and supporting the Malaysian economy to recover.
And talking about shifting of business models, there's a lot of talks in terms of how conglomerates and multidisciplinary conglomerates like Merck should move forward. Very previously, I had a conversation with Honeywell, and of course, I had a conversation with Subandynamic in Malaysia, and of course, Petronas. And they're like, you guys, they have healthcare, they have this, they have that, and all of them were used to be functioning in terms of providing revenue growth, and how they operated was in a way quite similar from one segment to another. But is the time now for companies, large companies like Merck, for instance, to think about how to narrow down your operating model and perhaps narrow down in terms of what the value proposition is for your consumers and your customers? Do you feel that the time is right for you to start to think about specializing in the offering that you give to your customers? What would be some of the ideas that you guys have spoken that you can share with the public in terms of narrowing down the value proposition for 2021? Is it still going to be the same, or you might want to spin off some companies, for instance, or shut down some segments? Or what's the story there?
Yeah, so Merck is a bit unique. As I mentioned earlier, it's still a family-owned company, right? So the family that founded Merck 352 years ago in Darmstadt, Germany, still owns 70% of the company today. So it's a little bit of a different strategy at Merck, right? Because it's not all about stock price appreciation, from one day to the next in order to please a very demanding shareholder base, right? The family is owners of this company for the long haul, right? They want to have a company that is sustainable. And in order to do that, they believe a key piece is diversification. And so you'll see that this year, right? Whereas our performance materials business was greatly impacted by COVID, our healthcare business also was a little bit impacted by COVID. Our life science business, as I mentioned, because of our work on COVID vaccines and COVID testing, actually did quite well this year. So the Merck family really believes in this diversification strategy in order to make sure that we have a sustainable business. So it's not necessarily for the family and the business. It's not necessarily about maximizing every dollar, every ringgit of growth and profit. It's really about being around for the long term, which also allows the company to focus on also sustainability from an environmental perspective, right? And a societal perspective as well, because it's not focused on like I said, that very fickle shareholder base that is looking to squeeze out every penny of growth and profit tomorrow, as opposed to thinking about the long term.
That's very interesting because I mean, the thing about tactics and strategy is that there's never the right one for everyone, right? Everybody has to move forward with
Exactly.
how they believe is right for them. And for Merck to decide to continue to, be diversified in their offering, and considering the background that you mentioned, you're right. I mean, I didn't look at it that way before this, right? 70% is still family owned, and diversification is going to be a key aspect. And do you feel that therefore Merck will diversify even more, instead of trying to narrow down the kind of value prop, you're going to diversify and enter into some other segments that you might not have been entering in the previous years, but because the opportunity now presents itself as a very unique one in 2021, you would see a little bit more, maybe bits and bobs being introduced here and there. Is that a possibility?
I think so. Merck in the past has been pretty acquisitive, right? So I mean, if you look at the business, 10 years ago, it was predominantly based on liquid crystals and also on pharmaceuticals, right? And in the last 10 years, we've built up the life science business through a couple of acquisitions, and the life science business is now our second biggest business, excuse me, in terms of revenue. Last year, we also built up the performance materials business by getting more into semiconductors with an acquisition. So Merck is constantly looking at their strategy to see where we can strengthen ourselves along those three verticals. I believe those three verticals will remain, but they're within those three verticals of healthcare, life science, and performance materials. It's quite likely that we will look to get into new areas or fortify areas maybe that are a bit smaller today, but where we see potential, and may also divest certain areas, right? Merck has also divested businesses in the past. In our healthcare business, we divested our consumer health business a few years ago. We also divested our biosimilar business a few years ago as well. So the company is constantly looking at its strategy to see where it sees more opportunities to grow, and focus, but still be diversified across the three different segments.
If people want to continue to learn more about Merck and perhaps some businesses want to strike up some partnerships with you guys, what would be some of the ideas that you want to share with them in terms of how they should approach this collaboration? Or in fact, maybe I could reverse it and ask you what would be some of the types of companies that you guys want to partner up, at least in Malaysia for this year?
Yeah, so I mean, I think on the healthcare side, it's continuing to strengthen our partnership with the government to help support the growing healthcare needs here in Malaysia and make sure that there's a sustainable healthcare system that is improving the lives of Malaysians, but also ensuring continued investment. And continued innovation in terms of the best medicines here are brought to Malaysia as quickly as possible, right? And I mean, COVID vaccines is just one example. But as I mentioned, right, COVID is just one health problem facing Malaysia. So from a healthcare standpoint, we look forward to partnering with the government, but as well as the private industry, the private hospitals, and the patient associations as well, to make sure that we're meeting the needs of patients here in Malaysia, providing them the best medicines, and providing them the best access in a personalized way, and also hopefully in an affordable way as well. In our life science business, we also are partnering with local companies in terms of producing pharmaceutical products. As well as universities and other research institutes, as well, to research new pharmaceutical products and performance materials. Obviously look forward to continuing to work with our customers in the automotive industry. So like I said, I mean, in Malaysia, we're still investing. I hope you got the message that Merck is in it for the long haul globally, but also here in Malaysia. And we hope that we can continue to grow our presence here in Malaysia and support the Malaysian society across all of our businesses and in many different ways.
Fantastic, Chris. Yes, long haul. German companies tend to do that when it comes to family-owned businesses. One company that I was thinking of is Sennheiser as well. They've been around for ages, and they are also investing at a time when a lot of companies might not be investing. Same goes with you guys. So I really wish you guys all the best, and perhaps we can have you in the studio once all this has calmed down. But for now, that was Chris Hammann, the President and CEO of Merck Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can find these kind of interviews at the website. You can also watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app, wherever you get the application. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.